Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
Monster Movie Media presents...
Greetings and welcome to Creepy Kingdom, a podcast all about the spookiness and creepiness of Disney and beyond. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, we reveal the results that you, the listeners, voted on for the creepiest film of 2016. So, without any further ado, let's begin. Alrighty, I'm here with the sirens of Creepy City. Not that kind of siren.
She wasn't a siren. She was too young.
I was singing.
That's right. We've got the Countess of Creepy Kingdom. It's Cupcake Terror.
That you did.
And the Evil Queen of the Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart.
Hello. Okay, look, I'm just gonna throw this out there real quick.
Yeah.
My cat is trying to eat my earbuds. So if I miss something that you say, that's why.
All right, well, just smile and nod and everyone will
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I need everyone to know that the queen is here, the evil queen is here, but my familiar is very feisty and she wants the podcast.
Understandable. So we are here because it is this is just in time for the Academy Awards, the Oscars, if you will. And we're having our own little sort of Oscar thing here, as we are going to announce the top creepy film of 2016 as voted on by you guys, the listeners.
Woo!
And so we're really excited to do this here. But one thing we realized before we started recording is that the three of us had not casted our vote.
We set such a bad example.
Well, I literally couldn't vote because I created the poll.
We have this poll, and we're going to do a show on it. And we want you to be involved, but we're not going to be involved.
No, that's silly. Why would we do that?
All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to list all of the nominees. And right here on the show, the three of us are going to cast our votes. And then the super magical creepy computer will tally them up.
I love super magical creepy computers. Me too. They're my favorite kind.
It's the only kind to have. And then we are going to reveal the results right here live. Not really live, but recorded, and you'll see it later.
Kind of live.
Kind of live, yeah.
They're time traveling.
Right. Well, as of right now, in this point of the time-space continuum, we don't know who the winner is because we haven't cast our votes yet.
No, we do not. I don't even know what the list is. Oh, okay. I don't even know what the list is because I don't have a computer or anything in front of me. I'm a bad podcaster.
She doesn't have a computer. Kids, can we get a GoFundMe going so Roxy could get a computer?
I have one. It's so far away downstairs. Like, it's just so far away.
All right, the nominees.
This is
in order of release. So that's the order. So
this is 2016, right?
Correct.
Okay, just making sure.
All right. So we've got Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Okay, I saw that one.
The Jungle Book.
I didn't see that
one. X-Men Apocalypse.
I watched that last night.
Are you prepared?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Alice Through the Looking Glass. You don't have to clap after each one.
They applaud.
All right. We'll do it. All right. You keep it up. All right.
She is right. They do.
All right. Our next nominee is Suicide Squad. Kubo and the Two Strings. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
Peregrine. Yeah. That's okay.
I was messing up, so you're going to correct me all the time.
It's like, what's his name that mispronounced the other chick's name? Never mind. Go ahead.
John Travolta?
Adeem. What was it? Adeem Denzel or something like that?
Yeah, that's it. John Travolta. I can't remember who it was. I'm like, it's either...
Thank
you. You can mispronounce his name. That's okay.
All right, moving on. I'm going to keep mispronouncing it the whole show, so you can keep correcting me. Our next nominee is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The next nominee is Moana. And our last nominee is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So those are the nominees.
Okay.
So, Roxy, you had about that minute to decide.
Okay, now wait. Just clarify for me real quick. Are we voting for which one we thought was the creepiest movie or which one was our favorite movie?
Yeah, just the favorite. I mean...
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Cool, because I was about to, like, have to go down this list and analyze how creepy, like, all the different scenes were, and, like, That was daunting. Okay.
That was going to be a long podcast.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we sit here and wait. That's the podcast. Roxy's still thinking.
I made a flow chart and a Venn diagram. I have to choose my favorite out of those.
Yeah, do you need a minute? Because I'm sure that that Cupcake Terror is ready. She looks chomping at the bit over there.
Right? And, like, it's not like we don't know what she's going to say. It's one of two. Like,
yeah, there's, it really, well, actually, there's, like, three of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I could guess the three, but I'm saying I don't know what it is. I'm waiting to find out. What is Cupcake Terror's pick?
All right, so my pick of 2016 for my favorite movie is, drumroll please, Moana!
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I know, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was between Moana, Suicide Squad, and Rogue One.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So that's like, that's a ridiculously surprising answer.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we'll get into, we'll discuss our thoughts on the films we saw as we go through the list here. But that's quite a shocker, quite a shakeup here.
Right?
That I was going to pick Rogue One or Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man. I did see Suicide Squad in the theaters 4 times, but
oh, wow.
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
All right.
And yet she chose Moana. Wow.
I did.
Okay.
All right. My Roxy, turn. You're up. Yep.
Man, I don't even remember the list now.
Pride, Prejudice, Zombies, The Jungle Book, X-Men Apocalypse, Alice in the Looking Glass, Suicide Squad, Kubo and the Two Strings, Miss Pettigrain, Don't Kill Your Children, Fantastic Beasts, Moana, Rogue One.
Okay. I'm going to go with Fantastic Beasts.
All right.
Not surprising.
I know.
Okay.
Somewhere in the last couple of years, I turned into a Harry Potter fangirl. So, yeah, I'm totally going with Fantastic Beasts.
Somewhere. I think I could pinpoint exactly where it was. We have it documented on another podcast.
Hey, I had questions, okay?
A lot of questions.
I had concerns, and I needed answers.
Hopefully you got them. All right, guys.
I did. But yeah, I'm going to go with Fantastic Beasts. But I did just see X-Men Apocalypse for the first time last night, and I really, really liked it. So I just wanted to throw that out there, too.
Well, good. Well, we'll get into that. We'll have plenty of opportunity to discuss our thoughts on all these films that we saw. All right, so now it's time for me to cast my vote. And, you know, I'll say, you know, Fantastic Beasts was a pretty close second. But there's just literally, the hands down, my favorite film of any genre of 2016. And probably one of the best movies I had ever seen in my entire life is Kubo and the Two Strings. That is a
absolutely
incredible, flawless, emotional, creepy, beautiful film. That so that's my tease about my passion for that film.
I didn't actually have any interest in seeing it until right now.
No, you definitely need to see it. You definitely need to see it. And I'm going to go on and on about it as we go through. But it's like, it is something.
Nice. Well, you were right about Harry Potter. So I suppose I should trust you.
How long was I trying to get you to check out Harry Potter?
Years. Years.
It just to wrap, just so everyone knows, she consumed all of Harry Potter in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like all the books.
I read a book, and then I watched the movie, and then I read a book, and then I watched the movie, and I think it took me like 4 weeks.
I couldn't imagine going through that emotional roller coaster in 2 weeks.
Plus, I got on Pottermore, and I read every single article the Pottermore had on it, and I read some of the best Marauders fan fiction in the world. So.
Okay, so let's go to the reveal. Here's what we're going to do. I'm gonna count it down, not through 10, but because not everyone got the same. You know, we have some ties, basically, is what I'm saying here. So,
okay,
we're just gonna go through. And then as we go through, I'm gonna list which of these films are actually nominated for an Academy and Award, which a handful
Ooh,
of them
yeah,
are.
Good idea.
So you know, just to celebrate the Oscars and all that fun stuff. All right, so let's start. There's two films that got 0% of the vote. One thing that is abundantly clear from the results of this, according to Creepy Kingdom listeners, is that they're not into comic book movies.
What?
You know,
really?
Yeah, you know, I tried to, I tried to incorporate that in the list because there's some great creepy fun in there, but no, two films got 0 votes. And one of them is X-Men Apocalypse. No one voted for that one.
Wow.
Now, Rock, you just watched it last night, so you are obviously aware of how awesome it is.
Yeah. In fact, I watched it last night after having the DVD. I got the DVD from, like, Netflix, and it's been sitting on my television for, like, a month. And I finally put it in last night, and I was like, I'm pissed that I didn't watch this before, and I'm even more pissed that I didn't go see it in the theater.
Yeah, I think it came out like it was a crowded weekend. I wanted to see it theatrically, and I just didn't get it. I think it came out the same day as Alice in Looking Glass too. So it just got lost in the shuffle. I ended up watching it on a plane.
Nice. So what was the other one that got no votes?
The other one we got no votes was Suicide Squad.
That's seriously not surprising. I'm sorry. I loved that movie. Love. But I understand why it would get no votes.
Okay, here's my thing, though. Mm-hmm. So Katie is a Harlequin fangirl. She loves Harley, right? And she loves Joker, and she loves the DC universe. She loves Batman and all of that stuff. So I expected Miss Cupcake Terror to like Suicide Squad. That's no surprise to me. I don't like Batman, don't like the DC universe, don't like Joker. I'm not a huge Harley fan. Like, I just, none of these things are things that I like. And I walked out of Suicide Squad so happy.
Hell yeah.
I loved that movie. I thought it was awesome and just fun. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, and normally DC movies aren't fun. That's why I don't like them. Mm-hmm. But it was like when you walked out of Deadpool, you know, you were just kind of happy and jazzed. And it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly with that statement.
So,
well, I was like,
as someone who, like, I legit do not like the DC universe, I thought Suicide Squad was awesome. So, I am really surprised by that vote.
Well, it's just the Creepy Kingdom listeners, that wasn't their favorite of the year. I mean, like you said, people can only pick one. So, it doesn't mean that people didn't like it, but it just got zero votes. I think that's the message. So, we're not going to go too deep into those genres on the show. I guess that's kind of what I got into. But I would like to say my thoughts on Suicide Squad a little bit is that I do agree. I thought the movie was a lot of fun. I called you guys the sirens of Creepy Kingdom because I was referring to the sirens of Gotham City, of Harley, Poison Ivy, and Catwoman. I'm a huge fan of those
That's
characters.
Us.
And so, I loved this representation. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know.
Yeah, I
like this Harley. You know, a lot of people didn't like it, but whatever. I thought it was a fun.
I loved this Harley. Okay, like, oh my god, if every Harley was this Harley, I'd be a Harley fan.
Well, I like them all, and I also, the Enchantress was pretty incredible. That, like, in fact,
she really was.
And, you know, I'm just going to put this on record and say there, too, is that I'm not really super on board with Jared Leto. It's not really. But for the film, I was like, when it was over, I was like, that was just enough of him. Because if there was any more, it would have reached my tolerance level. Then to find out that there's like a half an hour of footage more of him that was cut from the movie. And I was like, whoever made that call made a great call for my personal taste, because I mean, it's just this Joker is I'm trying to take it in. I don't know. I mean, the legacy left behind by Heath Ledger is just like it's hard to follow that, and I'll admit it. That's a hard act to follow, but I'm just like, but either way, I thought Suicide Squad was a lot of fun, and a lot of people were hating on it so hard even before it came out, and I was just like, that was fun. It was way better than Batman versus Superman. And they did announce that they're doing the Sirens of Gotham City movie. And a lot of DC fans were really bummed about that or upset about that. And I heard a lot of negativity about that. I was like, I don't care at all. This is what I want to see. So that's
right?
So, Katie,
well, a lot of the women in the DC universe haven't had, I feel, good representation, whether they be villains or not. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman is finally getting a movie.
Yeah, that looks good.
She's excited. More action oriented rather than just I'm a sexy chicken in a leotard. So, anyhow, I could go.
Well, you saw the movie four times.
I did. I really loved it. There are a lot of parts that I was divided on that I felt were lacking. I mean, if I can't even, I'm not even going to start.
All right, well, good. Cool. She loved it. Okay, yeah. Moving on.
fair. I loved it. And just as a side note, I like Jared Leto's Joker. Because
I did too.
It was such a departure from everything that we've known the Joker to be. And that's one of the reasons I think why a lot of people don't like it. I like that he's a gangster. I like that he's got all these tattoos because it would strike me as someone that was, you know, he's psychotic. And he's in the modern day world. This is what crazy psychotic people would probably do.
Yeah. Yeah, everything you said is not it's not an issue I have. I'm just saying I just don't like Jared Leto like at all, like generally speaking. So so it's already an uphill battle, and then he was just working. I just wasn't jiving with it, you know, like I wasn't talking about the tattoos or the gangster element of it. I mean, that makes sense because you're like, yeah, you know, but anyways, this isn't the Suicide Squad episode, so it's...
Yeah, sorry, Suicide Squad. But
Enchantress was awesome. I want more of her. All right, so...
Yes.
The next film, it's a five-way tie. Got 5% of the vote these next films got. So in no particular order. We're going to go through it here. The next one here is Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. So this is the only film on this list that I haven't seen, so I don't have much to say about it, but do you guys want to share your thoughts on this film?
It's a great movie. If you read the book, it really kind of stays true to the book. I mean, it's hard to diverge from the book at all, but it was so well done incorporating the Pride and Prejudice storyline with zombies. The Bennett girls are now... zombie fighters, and they're bad A's and just awesome. And it still has like the romance and everything of Jane Austen's novel, but you throw in all these action sequences, and then the filming of the action sequences are really, really good. I feel like the whole movie just kept moving. There weren't any lulls. There wasn't a moment where I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of like watching Pride and Prejudice by the BBC. it was a lot of fun. I absolutely love that movie. Saw it in the theaters, walked out of there super stoked and ready to slay zombies.
All right. Yeah, I tried to see it, but I couldn't get to it. Go on, Rex.
I saw it on DVD. I didn't see it in the theater. But I thought it was good and it was entertaining. I wouldn't say that I loved it, but it was definitely entertaining. So... if it was on TV, I wouldn't change the channel.
You know, that movie that's good is that if it's on television, you'll separate the commercial just to watch it.
That's how you know if I think it's a good movie. If it was on TV, I wouldn't change the channel.
I picture that on the cover of the DVD as like a press quote. If it was on TV, I wouldn't change the channel. Roxy Tart.
That's right.
The ultimate endorsement. All right, the next film in this 5% list here is The Jungle Book. So we have discussed this on the show before, before we saw it, and after a little bit. I'll just say off the bat that I was really surprised how awesome it was. I was kind of skeptical of it before, and I loved it. I thought it was really, really good. Like, I was like, wow, they're coming out of the gate swinging hard with these live-action adaptations, which I'm skeptical about in general. And so I'm just like, okay, very good. And then I went home afterwards, and I started watching the animated version, and I turned it off after like 20 minutes because I was like, you know, I'd rather watch the live-action version. So that's my endorsement.
I didn't see that one. I can't say anything.
What?
I didn't see Jungle Book yet.
Oh, good grief.
It's in my Netflix list in my queue. I just haven't watched it yet.
So what did you think about it, Katie?
I love Jungle Book. I was enthralled, edge of my seat the entire time. The CGI was seamless. The fact that this kid is acting on a green screen to Little Ball, like his performance was wonderful. And all of the voice acting was wonderful. I think they really, Disney did a great job with this live action adaptation. A really good job. Although Christopher Walken as King Louis.
That took you out of it a little bit, right? I mean, just a little bit. I don't know.
Christopher Walken, I know everybody loves him, but he seriously just pulls me out of whatever it is that I am watching.
Yeah. Well, it's because of his voice. You automatically know it's him. There's no masking who he is. He's not trying to mask his voice. It's very much Christopher Walken as.
Right?
Right.
List of the that he's playing. So, yeah, the moment he started talking, I just started laughing. I'm like, oh, crap. Oh, yeah, that's the only part where I was like, hmm. Still love it, though. Great, great movie. Now, isn't Jungle Book up for a couple Academy Awards as well? Or no?
No.
Interesting.
Let me double check that. Yeah, I feel like it was, too. Actually, no, yeah. My bad. I made an error. Yes, it is. I made an error in my show prep. Jungle Book was nominated for Best Visual Effects.
There we go. I was going to say, nice. Didn't get a nomination for Best Visual Effects. The Academy people are crazy.
Another film was also in that category, which I think is even better and better win the award. But we'll get to that soon. So, all right. Next up is something we definitely have talked about at length on this show this year, was Alice Through the Looking Glass. You know, I thought it was okay. Katie really liked it. I assume you haven't seen it, Roxy.
Still on my Netflix queue.
I went back a couple weeks ago and I watched the movie again because it's on Netflix streaming. And I didn't get the same feeling that I got in the theater when I was watching it at home. So I don't know if it was the scope of it on the big screen and seeing it for the first time that kind of changed it, but I was sitting there watching it and I was like, this is not quite what I remember, and I wasn't as excited to be watching it. I think I wound up turning it off, which is weird.
Really? Oh,
wow. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was really weird. I think visually it is a stunning movie, but the storyline on the second watch was a little loose for me. Which is weird. I mean, the really important parts that were. Yeah. Anyhow.
Well, it's funny after we recorded about it, you were so like excited about it. It made me think about the movie again. I was like, I mean, I guess it wasn't as bad as I. But like your enthusiasm.
And I was super enthusiastic about the movie, and I absolutely loved it when I left the theater, and I thought it was really beautiful. But yeah, just going back and watching it the second time. I think it was more like Alice and how she decided to save the Hatter. I was like, why would she do that? That seems out of character.
Yeah.
But the bright shining part of the entire movie is Sacha Baron Cohen.
Right. Yeah. You were just blinded by his performance. So you're like,
hey. I was. And a lot of what his character had to say, that's what really moved me about the movie originally, and still does. And just the part that he plays and just little things that he says about time and how, you know, we don't control it, et cetera, et cetera. That was that part I still love.
There's a few, there's a few moments in there for me. It's about, you know, Helena Bonham Carter and the backstory stuff. I know.
Really?
Yeah. Those are the parts of movies I liked. So, I didn't hate it or anything. I just thought it was okay. not really well received at all. And I think this is the end of this Alice universe. I don't think they'll be making another one of these movies.
No? You think the Alice franchise is over?
Yeah. I think it's a wrap.
Yeah.
All right. Sadly. The next one on our list here is the one I can't pronounce, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Did I say it right that time? Peregrine?
Miss Peregrine. Home for Peculiar Children.
Pettigrooms? Pettigrooms?
Pedigrees.
Like a bird. Like a bird.
Whatever. No, like what your dog has, like a pedigree, right?
A pedigree, yeah. Miss Pettigrees okay. Home.
Yeah.
For Peculiar Children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever's house this is. I'm just going
to. One weird lady's house with all the kids.
With all the kids.
So I think I'm the only one here that has seen this.
Yeah, I need to see it.
I do too. Guess what? It's in my Netflix
queue. It's on the queue. It's a good one to be there. Netflix better be sending us a check for how many times we say that those words in this episode.
Right? well.
Yeah, I know. Netflix sends you a check. But I'm not getting a cut. So I watched this movie 2 days ago, as of this recording.
Oh.
And I absolutely loved it. So good. I can't believe it was so mismarketed, because it's kind of marketed as like an X-Men ripoff or something. That's the way it kind of looks from the commercials and trailers.
Yeah.
And it's so not that, you know, and it's so good. I loved it. It was, the design of the characters, the way the story is, like, a lot of people.
Eva Green.
Hmm? Eva, yes, yeah, she did the damn thing.
She's amazing, though. Yeah. Like, I don't care what she does. She's amazing.
Yeah, no, she was great. And most other people in the film I didn't know who they were, besides Samuel L. Jackson, who was also incredible. He's pretty much incredible in anything he does. But he was really good in this film as well. It really worked. Everyone else was kind of unknowns, which was good for getting lost in the story. And, you know, this is directed by Tim Burton, and, you know, there's this thing going around that says, oh, Tim, you know, Tim Burton sucks now, and he's not good anymore, and...
People, I hate those people. If you think that Tim Burton sucks, you're not paying attention.
Like, this movie is really good. Like, I can't believe that it got swept under the rug, like, because it was out, and then it was gone, and I missed it in the theater, and I'm just like...
I didn't even know it was out.
Yeah, it came out around like Halloween time.
Yeah, I remember seeing the commercials. And I looked at Keegan and I was like, I cannot wait to see this movie. I am so excited to see this movie. And then the next thing I knew, it was gone.
Yeah.
And I was like, did this movie even come out?
Well, there was other stuff that was released right around that same time. I'm trying to remember. And I think it just kind of got not.
Really? Was it X-Men Apocalypse? Because I missed
that. No, it wasn't that.
I'm sure somebody else will be able to tell us in the comments, but I think what happened is that there were two other movies that were out right around the same time, I want to say. And it got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I definitely think it's worth checking out. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people started thinking about Tim Burton and thinking about Alice in Wonderland 2010. And a lot of people are put off by creepitizing Disney classics, just, you know, concept. And then so like, oh, well, that's Tim Burton just takes stuff and makes it creepy and blah, blah. It's like Tim Burton, you know, like, it's not like everything he ever does, like, hits out of the park, but like he's been doing it long enough. I think he knows how to make movies, guys. I don't know.
Right? Tim Burton is a good filmmaker. I mean, he just is. Like it may not be everybody's cup of tea, but he makes good movies. He's so creative and like, so you don't have to like it, but you should just respect it.
And the thing about this is like, this is based on a book, right? So it's not like his, you know, his world, but, just the filmmaking presentation of this world was perfect. Like I just say, I really loved it. I was really impressed with it. It is.
I'm going to watch it.
It is a type of film that I aspire to create, you know, like in the family friendly creepy genre, you know, like, because there's stuff in there that I was like, it actually got some things got, it might be PG-13 actually, because some of the parts of the movie I was like, whoa, this would be a little intense for 5 year olds. So like, but enough going on about this. I urge everyone to check it out. So next one on our list here, you know, is a little bit of a stretch of stuff we don't usually cover on the show, but I decided that it was worthy of being nominated for reasons we'll get into in a moment, and that is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Yes! Oh my God! So love that movie!
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I know you didn't see
it. I know you're never going to see any of the Star Wars movies, Roxy.
Nope.
It's okay.
So this film is nominated for Best Sound Editing and Best Visual Effects.
Right.
So yeah. Neat. So my thoughts on why Rogue One should be part of this is any Star Wars film that's ever been made, just the complete tone of this was so dark and gritty and so much like just impending doom. And, you know, spoiler alert for everybody out there. as you're watching it, you're thinking, since, you know, just in case anyone's not clear, this is what led into Episode 4, the first Star Wars movie. And so you're watching this film and you're like, yeah, there's like a whole bunch of people in here I've never seen before in any other Star Wars movie. And this is a prequel. And then there's that moment you realize, you're like, wow, none of these people are going to make it. Like the whole cast. You're like...
people that go on the excursion to get the plans for the Death Star.
So basically, what you're telling me is that like 80% of the cast are red shirts.
Yeah. Dang it, why are you? Stop crossing genres or movies, fandom.
My bad.
How dare you? I think that's what I love the most about it, because it would have been difficult. You can't really bring these characters from Rogue One, other than the commander for the army. Or the Rebel Alliance.
The guy that they recreated in CG.
That woman?
Not so much the guy. Or woman.
No. I'm trying to remember her name, and I'm a very bad. She's the one that was in All White.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm not that deep in the game.
Okay. Oh, I forgot her name. She's original and also represented in Rogue One. But there's no way that you could take these characters from Rogue One and stick them into... Four. My favorite joke after I watched Rogue One is that, oh my god, you guys hear that they're making a sequel to Rogue One?
Oh,
and
yeah.
People be like, where are you kidding me? I'm like, yeah, it's called Star Wars A New Hope. And they would take a beat and I'm like, oh, come on, guys. That was funny. That was like, I read that meme and that was like my joke for straight 2 weeks. It was great.
That joke has absolutely no humor to it whatsoever. It's a horrible joke. And I was laughing because of how bad of a joke it was. No, it was a great joke. I loved it.
Thanks for the pity, James.
But above all, and I'll let you kind of go on about your thoughts about Rogue One in a second here, Cupcake. But, above all, the reason that this film is on this list is for two scenes. Number one, you get to go to Darth Vader's castle and his isolation chamber. That is the creepiest, most badass thing I'd ever seen in my life. That was incredible. And the last 5 minutes of this film, like, I could just play on a loop. That was literally one of the most incredible sequences in film history. It's going to go down that way. I honestly believe it. Because it is... This, like, everyone, when they announced they're doing the prequels originally, they're like, oh, we're going to see, like, how Darth Vader was, like, badass when he was younger. But no, he was just a whiny little kid, emo brat, you know? So everyone was bummed out about that, right? But then it's like, you're like, now you get to see, there's just that, you know, the plans are getting away and everyone's failing. And then there's that moment he's just like, you know, I'm just going to have to go handle this myself, aren't I? And the way that he just came in and just murdered all of those people was just... It was mind-blowing. It was... Wow. I could just... When that comes out on home video or whatever they call it these days, I'm just going to go right to that scene because it was just like... I'm sure it has its own chapter mark.
So you're telling me that if I want to watch it, all I need to do is go to that scene.
Yes. Yeah, I would say that. That's my... you might be intrigued to be like, oh, well, let's... I wonder how we got here. Maybe I'll start from the beginning after watching that a few times.
Yeah. From the beginning.
Okay, happen.
So as the biggest Star Wars fan on our podcast, I believe, definitely out of the three of us though, what, you know, how do you think Rogue One ranks in the library of films?
I think it's really up there. I mean, for me, it's up there. It's now one of my top 10 favorite films of all time. Just all of the characters that are in it, the battles that they have to go through, that there's character development without it bogging down the movie. Mm. And the way that I really loved Donnie Yen's portrayal of the blind Jedi.
It's great performances.
Huh?
It's a great performances.
Yeah. I just love Donnie Yen anyways. So like him being in it and doing this and his whole mantra of I'm one with the Force and the Force is with me. I don't know. I say that when I'm not happy. When I'm not doing well.
Yeah. Isn't one of the guys from Star Wars the guy that played Apocalypse in X-Men Apocalypse?
I don't know. I don't know. Well, we're all going to ponder that one.
Right?
The more I think about it, Rogue One, though, it really doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie.
It didn't, because it didn't have all the other characters, which is another reason why I love the movie. Yeah. That it didn't have Luke and Leia and Han and all of these people that we're so used to seeing. It was a standalone story. It ties into the universe, but it's completely new. And I loved that. I loved having something completely new. But still followed along with the universe and the storyline. I absolutely loved it.
Well, I look forward to the other standalone films that are coming. The Han Solo origin film.
Oh, don't get me started. I'm so excited.
We'll have to do a whole nother show just for Katie to talk about that.
Right now.
All right. Well, we've reached the part of our list here where we have our top three. So, this is exciting, guys. We're inching our way to number one. We have to do this so people don't know. I had to think about this, because if I go in order, they're going to know what's coming next.
So. I've already forgotten half the list, so
okay.
Necessarily.
Whatever.
I'm just saying, they might not know.
That's true. Whatever. We're trying here, guys. We're trying to have an Oscar show for you guys. Come on.
Number one.
What?
We should start with number one and then go to three.
No, that's anticlimactic. Come on. There's a way to do this. I've seen other shows do this, but I don't know what it is. So we're just gonna do it our way. So.
We could just talk about the top three and then announce which one is the winner.
There you go.
Yeah, but how do we start talking about them?
Top three, in no particular order, are...
All right, okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. In no particular order, let's talk about Kubo and the Two Strings.
Go ahead,
Jay. All right, guys, talk about it. No,
dang it. I haven't seen it yet and I feel bad, but everything about it looks absolutely beautiful and amazing.
So it is this is another film. I mean, it's definitely getting its credit. It is nominated for Best Animated Feature Film and Best Visual Effects, which I will say this is the film I was saying that should win Best Visual Effects. This film incorporates almost every type of animation just seamlessly together. CG animation, huge 50-foot puppets, because they actually show like behind the scenes stuff in the credits so you know that you weren't just watching CG, that there were actually puppetry involved in it. So it's a mixture of, you know, stop motion puppetry and computer animation.
Is it? Did they do traditional animation too?
No, I forget that one. Okay. Not everyone, but I mean, those are they combined those three things. No, I know I said all, but I lied.
Just kidding.
And hold on, let's pause for a sec. You heading out, hon?
Yeah. Hi, Shannon.
Bye, Shannon.
They say hi to you. They're right there. All right, see you, in a minute. Oh, that was definitely right. Anyway, all right, so just the presentation of the film is just absolutely incredible. This is from Leica Studios, the same company that did Coraline and Paranorman and The Box Trolls. I haven't seen The Box Trolls yet, but Coraline and Paranorman are pretty incredible films. So
watch Box Trolls. I absolutely loved that movie. It was adorable. Go watch it.
I will.
It looks really cute.
We have the set. I got it for Shannon for a holiday gift. It's like all four of the movies on Blu-ray. So
neat.
And she loves Box Trolls, so she said it was good. So I'm interested in checking that out. But yeah, these guys are not like a movie factory where they're like cranking them out every year. They spend years making these movies, you know, and they're finally getting their due with Kubo and the Two Strings. I feel like, you know, that one's, you know, overall it wasn't super popular. Most people didn't really know what it was or understand much about it. But the other thing I'll just put out there, and you know, the story is so good. Like, it's so emotional. Like, when the movie was over, I was sitting there in the theater with tears. Like, I was...
Aww.
Like, I allowed myself to cry in public. Like, I don't cry at movies very often. I could probably count on my hand every movie that... And I was just like, I don't really know why, but it really struck a nerve. Shannon and I were sitting there in the movie theater with the credits rolling with tears. I was just like...
Aww.
I can't say enough about this movie. I mean, this is my number one movie of the year of any film I've seen. So,
well, now I totally want to see it.
So hopefully that lives up to the to my endorsement.
Right? Yeah.
You're gonna be like, that was so dumb.
I feel like between your hype for that one and Katie's hype for Alice, I mean, not necessarily anymore, but after she saw it the first time, and like everybody's hype for Rogue One, that I'm gonna watch all these movies eventually and just be so let down.
Oh God.
I mean, I'm going to say that I don't think that you're going to say think that Rogue One is like amazing. I think you'll be like, "Oh, it's a good movie," you know, and that was some cool parts.
Well, I'm never going to see that. So
I'm just saying if you were to watch it. Alice, I don't know what you're going to think about that, but I will argue with anybody that says that Kubo and the Two Strings is not a good movie. Like, it is such a great movie. I loved it. So anyways, in no particular order, the next film that we're going to talk about in our top three is... I'm trying to pick randomly.
Just do your finger on like the computer screen and like point to it. There you go.
Let's see where it points to when I tap. All right. It actually pointed to one of them. I thought I was going to point another place on my screen. All right, so... The next film on our list is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yay!
Yes! Yes!
So I'll start this one off. You know, I was clearly very excited that the Harry Potter universe was going to continue on. And I was extremely excited that this story was going to be told for the first time cinematically as opposed to being in book form first, because... Mm-hmm. They, you know, the films, they have never really been able to, story-wise, cram in everything they need to tell. And I always felt like, by the way, I watched movies first before I read the books. So I always felt like I was, like, missing something that everyone else was in on that have read the books. And then when I read the books, I'm like, oh, yeah, you certainly were missing something. Like, you know, like... 75% of the detail of the backstory was taken. I've always argued, I think that instead of making the Harry Potter films, they should have made it a series, you know,
because
there was so much so much to be done there. I mean, and logistically, I know that probably wouldn't have worked out, but I just mean, like, for content. But anyways, so I was very excited about this, the Return of the Wizarding World, and get this story that I knew was going on just like everyone else because I was watching the movie.
Yeah.
And this was my experience watching Fantastic Beasts. Maybe about, like, half an hour or so into it, I'm like, okay, I'm like, this is okay. This is going to be, like, a cute movie. Okay, I'll accept this. That's fine. Because it's just all these little cute creatures, and this is all we're going to do, huh? Okay. And then I was like, oh, my God. I was like, yes. That, oh, my God. It got so dark. Arguably the darkest Harry Potter film ever. Like, it was incredible. Oh, I just like, I'm at a loss for words.
James is just overwhelmed by the darkness of this movie.
I was, oh my God. I just get excited just thinking about it, man. I love the time period that the film takes place in. I love when they go to the speakeasy. I love, like, that, you know, prohibition time and things around that.
I need giggle juice in my life.
Giggle juice, yeah.
Let me tell you.
It's coming. The story was so strong, and as it gets going, but I just was funny. At the beginning of the movie, I was just kind of like, I was like, oh God, okay, we're gonna have a cute little fun movie. Because I will say this, and I haven't really said this publicly either, or to anyone. No one's really asked me. I don't know, but the trailers for the film didn't really get me that excited about it. I was excited that the film was going to exist, but the trailers themselves, there was nothing like, oh man, here it comes, because none of that awesome stuff was in the trailer, like, at all. Like, it was just like,
no, they truly banked on us just wanting to see it because it was in the Potterverse.
Yeah.
Like, they really did. But I walked into it expecting, like, a cute, you know, especially when we found out that it was going to be the first one in a series.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought back to Harry Potter, right? And, like, the first one is cute, you know, and kind of a kid's movie. And then as they move along, they get more grown up. So I was expecting kind of like a cute, you know, nothing like, ooh, magical stuff, you know, movie.
Right.
There were some surprise feels in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm not crying. You're crying.
Cutting this here.
Wow,
chopping onions in the theater.
I cried at that one too.
Really? What made you guys get all teary eyed?
Oh, at the end when they're standing in the rain with the umbrella and she has to, like, he has to go away and
oh, yeah,
she has
sad.
To wipe his mind. Oh,
that was very sad.
It was so sad. It was just adorable, though. But it was like, I was like, total surprise feels. Mm-hmm. Like, I did not expect that at all.
Yeah. I think Dan Fogler and Allison Sudol, who played Queenie, and
Queenie was so good.
Kowalski. Those mm-hmm. two had such amazing chemistry. And that storyline I absolutely love because it was so forbidden. And it was such a bad thing. A little bit of a Romeo and Juliet type deal. Mm-hmm. And they both are such wonderful actors. I'm just in love with Dan Fogler to begin with. So, yeah, their storyline was really, really very, very bittersweet.
I like them better than the leads.
Like, yeah, no, I agree.
I have to admit.
No, I totally did. I agree as well. Nude is definitely an amusing character, but I was definitely more interested in what those other two were doing.
Yeah, Newt, I think Newt's super, super cool, and I have my own guess that I think he has Asperger's, or is, like, on the autism spectrum. But, you know, whatever.
It's possible. I mean, I wouldn't put that
just
past
a lot of the way that he's written and the way that, you know, Eddie plays him and like, it just these little thing. And I was like, I think this character's on the spectrum. That is awesome. But the girl who played his what's her name? The other chick?
I don't remember.
Yeah. I didn't like her at all. Like, she didn't interest me. I didn't vibe with her. I felt no connection with her at all in any way, shape, or form. Like,
well, she's,
I don't think she's supposed to, because she was so just off the cuff. She was all business, and she wasn't trying to get involved, and she's got to play it by the book. And so I think a lot of people feel the same way that you feel. There wasn't a lot of connection there. Not a lot of emotion. Not until the end, though.
Then Queenie showed up, and I was like, all right, let's do this.
I'm just saying, if you existed back in the day, that would totally be you. I knew you resonate with that character. So.
Oh, my God, I love her so much.
Queenie was wonderful.
I'm so glad there's more. I'm so glad they're making more.
Yeah, this is the first of five films, so strap in.
So with Harry Potter, you know, James, you and Katie and like every other person in my entire life that knows Harry Potter, people read them when they first came out and watched the movies like as they came out. So, you know, you had to wait. Well, I didn't have to wait. I watched them less than 2 years ago, you know, so I had everything at once. And now I have to wait. And what the F is that about?
Welcome to the real world.
Yeah, sorry, dude.
That sucks. I don't know how you guys did it. Like, it makes me angry when I think about it.
Well, the thing to think about, especially something like this, it increases your affection for it when you have to wait for it because you're...
No.
Yeah, it does.
No, I want it now.
I know you want it now, but it's increasing your affection for it. Like, you want it now. You're getting angry because you want it. It's building up. You're building the desire. You know, like that's part of how fandoms get creative. If everything just came out at once, you know.
Sorry.
Yeah, you know, you get it, and then you throw it away. You're like, oh, I'm done with that. Next thing I want all at once. But when you have to wait, you know, 2-3 years to find out what happens next, you try to keep it in your life, you know, like you keep it going, you start collecting things, you can buy toys, you read comics, I don't know, like
all this. No, I'm just sad.
Oh,
well. I'm just sad.
Well, I'm excited that more stuff is coming, you know.
Oh, me too.
You know, and there's no end in sight. There's who knows what's gonna happen or not. There's talks of making a film adaptation of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, the play that they did this past summer that they put into print form. So there's, you know, the world's not ending, and we're all having a good time. this film has 2 Oscar nominations, Best Costume Design and Best Production Design. And I say if they don't win those 2 awards, they don't know what the hell they're talking about, because that's another thing.
Right.
So I had a show on it a little while back, but I got to go to an exhibit at Warner Brothers Studio that shows all the props and costumes from Fantastic Beasts. So I got to actually, you know, check them out besides the second they flash on screen. And they are, like, the amount of detail and all these things that get such little screen time is absolutely incredible. Like... The all the props and every little thing is so cool. Everything down to a matchbook having a fake thing on it. they spare nothing because I know there's obsessive people that are watching and
and will freeze frame.
Yep.
Raise my hand.
Like, yeah, she's raising her hand.
Talk about, just real quick with the movie though too, J.K. Rowling's foray into writing screenplays she hit it out of the park. It was absolutely amazing. Just the dialogue was wonderful. Felt it was seamless. It didn't feel forced, which is part, you know, of the writer's part, or, you know, part of her writing and the director and then the actors themselves and the storyline. Everything about it was so, so well done. I mean, this is her universe. This is what she's created. It all lives in her head. And now it's taken on like a whole other form. It's just I loved that more than anything. It was just the story itself. It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
I like the fact that they kept that secret from us. I was shocked.
Yeah. At the very end, don't say it.
Dude.
I said
dude. I was legit, like, mouth hanging open, like, eyes popping out of my head. I looked over Keegan, and I was like, is that? No.
Yeah.
What?
even the IMDb page, though, I looked at the IMDb page to see who was playing, and I don't want to say it because I still feel that people haven't seen it, and I don't want to be that person that spoils it. All right.
We won't spoil that, I guess. We've spoiled a lot of the movies we've talked about. But
for not the end. I have too much love for this one. But that character was originally not on the IMDb page.
Interesting.
But can we just, okay, I just have to say, okay, since we're in the Potterverse and I know we need to move on, but okay, so you know how Dumbledore totally was like kind of sort of in love with, depending on which version you want to read, or how you want to look at it, with that character, you know?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder he was with who they cast as the character.
Well,
right.
Wouldn't you be?
Just in case everyone's unclear, so this is a mystery character shows up. It's a mystery because of who played him. That's just so anyone's unclear what we're skipping around here. But apparently this is a long lost love of Dumbledore. And so what Rox is insinuating is, based on the attractiveness of the person playing the role, well, wouldn't you be in love with them? Just so we're all clear.
Amen. Yes.
And just to wrap that point up, it's funny enough, is that this is not the first time that he has taken an uncredited cameo in a film. So that's something he likes to do. So that's another...
because he's awesome.
Yep.
It's another tease there. But I think that's all we really need to say. All the thing I'll say about Fantastic Beasts is that I can't wait for this to get somehow incorporated into the theme parks, because you know it's coming.
So, yay!
You know? So that's all I'm going to say about that. But, so the last of our top three, which we don't know what number it is, if you haven't figured it out yet, is Moana.
Yay!
Did you see Moana, Roxy?
I didn't see it yet.
What?
I know. I'm a terrible person.
You are.
I am. You know, the thing about Disney movie, kids movies, but specifically Disney movies, is that I try not to watch them unless I'm seeing them with Skylar, because I know that if he likes it, I will end up seeing it like 8 billion times. But Skylar he didn't want to go see that one in the theater. He wanted to wait for it on DVD. So right. I'm waiting. So that's my defense for why I haven't seen this amazing movie.
I loved it.
All right, so I'll start this one off here by saying that it is nominated for Best Animated Feature, up against Kubo and the Two Strings. I think you know which one I would pick. But it's also nominated for Best Music Original Song. So I did go see this film, and it was funny. It was like Sunday afternoon of opening weekend, and it was packed to the brim. This film did bank. People were all about this one. And I'm just laughing because something that happened, which I'll talk about in a sec. But I would just kind of say the Disney animated films that are classic stories, I guess, the fairy tale-esque stories, you know, as of late, you know, they're not always a home run with me. I guess I'll say like that. Like, I mean, actually, as I'm rolling through my head of the films, I'm really just thinking about Frozen.
Something. Yeah.
Like that one.
We know, James.
But I don't know, like Tangled is a pretty solid movie. I like that film a lot. Princess and the Frog is pretty awesome. I don't think I'm missing any other one, but
Brave.
Brave. Oh, that, oh, I didn't put that because that's Pixar Animation Studio, but Brave was absolutely incredible. And anyone that hates that movie can. Every time I hear someone's like, "Oh, Brave sucked," I'm just like, "You get out of here." Well, you hate on Brave. We're gonna have a Brave battle.
Completely agree with you. Don't you dare look in my face and tell me that Brave was a bad movie. I would fight you.
Oh, you're agreeing with me. Oh, you were giving that face to the haters. I thought you were giving that face to me.
Yes. Are you kidding me? Did you see her hair?
So, all that being said. Moana is pretty much like a perfect animated Disney film. Like, it is just, they just knocked it out of the park with that one. I was just like, I pretty much loved everything about it. I mean, such a great story. And, you know, me and music and songs are kind of like on the fence all the time. The music, the lyrics to all these songs are so good. Like, it's just like such great storytelling and just the lyrics. You know, like it is. It is a wonderful film. I absolutely loved it. And the thing that I was laughing about was these the coconut monsters that appear in the film.
They're so cute. I know I haven't seen the movie, but they're so cute.
So the funny thing here is that what'd you say?
They're evil.
Yes.
They're adorably evil.
They are evil.
Are they bad guys?
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, they're up to no good.
Yeah.
They're kind of like,
now I like them even more.
They're kind of like gremlins. kind of have a gremlins vibe to them. So I wanted to go see that when it came out, and I was telling Shannon, my girlfriend, and she's been on the show for listeners that know. I'm like, oh, we want to go see Moana, and you know. 99% of the movies she watches are horror movies. She does like a lot of Disney movies, but she was just like, I don't know, that looks doesn't look very good or whatever. I don't want to see that. And I'm like, come on. It's a Disney movie. It's gonna be fine. So basically she literally knew nothing about the movie at all. And so when the evil coconuts showed up in the film, I knew right away that she was going to lose her mind. And we're in this crowded movie theater that's filled with, you know, 90% children on a, you know, Sunday afternoon. And as soon as they show up on screen, Shannon out loud blurts out an profanity.
Shannon!
Awesome.
And it made me laugh. I was like, I knew those guys were gonna get you. She is obsessed with those guys.
Now I know what to get her for Christmas.
Yeah, no, she's into them. And
this podcast is seriously making me want to go watch so many movies.
Well,
thank goodness, because that's the point.
That is the point. We are, you know, and you know, I don't, you know, and if your listeners haven't seen some of these, I mean. You know, I think I haven't seen the Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies one, but I would say all these are definitely worth checking out. And,
heck yeah.
But,
of all.
Well, that's your pick. So, but I was going to say, but this movie does, you know, it does. The reason that it's on this list here, even though it's not all, it's, you know, it's, you know, it's pretty light and positive. There's some really dark, creepy things that they brought to the table in this that I was like, that are worth the price of admission right there. This fire monster lava demon lady of my dreams. So good. Like that's worth seeing the film alone. But like overall, I think if you obviously listen to this podcast, you like Disney movies, and you have, or you did at some point in your life, like watched the animated classics. I fit this film fits right in there with all of them. All right, Cupcake, go ahead. I'm done talking.
Okay. So first off, I was really excited when I first heard that they were making Moana because it is she's a Polynesian princess.
Representation matters.
Right. Representation really does matter. And mm-hmm. I was a little bit worried that they were going to cast people that were not Polynesian. So when they did a talent search in Hawaii and other like other islands, I got really, really excited. I said, yes, we're going to have someone that is actually of the descent voice the character. Because in Lilo and Stitch, Lilo's not Hawaiian. She's a little white girl. Well, teenager. Which I still love Lilo and Stitch, but it was a little sad. My cousins were very upset about that fact when they found out in their teenage years that Lilo was not actually Hawaiian. Anyhow, so I've been following this project from inception. And finally, when I got to see it, it was like all the expectations I had of Disney representing the Polynesian culture were just so, it was done so well. They incorporated the language. They incorporated just the town and where everyone was living and how they lived their lives and how they relied on the land. And all of that was a part of this movie. It wasn't just like, oh, here's a little fluff piece about a little Hawaiian girl singing songs. It brought in the spiritualism that exists in the Hawaiian culture and the Polynesian culture. The grandmother, who I just absolutely love and adore, I feel I resonate with very well. It was just such a beautifully done movie. And the music, I was moved. There were a lot of points where I was like very teary-eyed. And I love the music. And the one that stole the show for me, there are two that stole the show for me. First off was Dwayne Johnson as Maui. His song was amazing. The way that he
You're welcome. Is that the one? Yeah, that was a great song. Dude,
that was such a great song.
Anything that Dwayne Johnson does is amazing.
Yeah,
that's like, I think we're all in agreement on that one.
Oh yeah.
So if there was no other reason that I was going to see this movie, it would be for him.
Yeah, you got to see it. But he was so wonderful, and I just love the way that he drew him, and I love the storyline and how Maui's kind of the reason why all of this is happening and why things have turned bad and why Moana has to save the world, so to speak. And I love that one. But the one that stole the show for me was Hey Hey the Chicken.
Yes.
This chicken is so stupid. When they were making it, Hey Hey was going to like help drive the plot a little bit more and do all this stuff, and it really wasn't working. And so they realized, like, just make the chicken stupid. And for some reason, it worked. Everything about it was just like, here's Moana's friend. He's not actually helping. He's just here for comedic relief.
Like, well, not even just... it's great because, you know, in all these films, they have an animal sidekick that usually does help out and do something, either whether they talk or not, or I don't know. But,
right, exactly.
But he actually really... he barely didn't even do anything. And it was just so funny that... that he's the animal that went on the journey and not the the pig.
Right, yeah, because you think the pig will go.
Yeah.
Pig's adorable. Who doesn't love a cute, adorable pig? No, Hey Hey, the dumb chicken. I loved Hey Hey. Every time he came on, he was always really funny. And he had his parts of play, but it was great. I loved it.
And he was voiced by Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, which is funny because I'm not really sure. I wasn't really sure how you could voice a dumb thing. But Alan Tudyk, thumbs up. He did it.
Right?
Yeah.
I love the movie. And I'm just very happy now that there is a Polynesian princess in Disneyland and in Walt Disney World. There's such a huge Polynesian population, you know, that hasn't had representation in Disney films. And it goes back to, you know, Tiana and Pocahontas, which I feel, you know, isn't a great representation of the Native American culture, but whatever. But this is it was so beautifully done. And Moana is so lovable and sweet in her journey and learning to take charge of her own destiny. And I loved it. It made me happy.
Yeah, it is a perfect Disney animated film, and and lastly, cannot forget the show-stopping performance from Jermaine Clement as the bizarre crazy crab. I don't know what that was about, but that was such a left field moment for the film that I loved, but it was just like, whoa, I didn't see this coming.
I listened to the soundtrack before I saw the movie, and I was like, where is this fitting in? I don't even know. I was like, the song was just so random.
Yeah.
And then you feel like, oh my, what the heck just happened? It was wonderful. Oh, I would like to give a shout out to the people that I got to see the movie with in the theater. There were quite a few Polynesian people in there, and like when everyone got excited, there was like, you know, the cries for victory and happiness and a lot of chee-hoo. And yeah.
What movie theater was this that you were at?
Where did I see this one? I think I saw it over in Tamforan in South City, which is a very large Asian Pan-Pacific Islander population.
Yeah, about 90% of our listeners live in that town, so they're all really excited about that. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, that's that. So let's
Roxy, are you eating candy over there?
Yeah,
no.
Ren.
Okay. Anyhow,
no,
anyhow,
we're gonna candy, I promise.
Are revealing which is number one?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. I mean, that's what we're gonna do here. We got a number one. This was voted on by the listeners and us.
All right, drum roll. Should we do a drum roll?
Yeah. The top creepy film of 2016 is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Woo! With 32% of the vote.
Yeah.
Did you people not see the rest of the movie?
Landslide. Landslide.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Coming
That's
in at dope. Number two was Kubo and the Two Strings, and Moana was number three.
Yay!
So there's a lot of you guys out there know what's up with Kubo, coming in with, 26% of the vote. It should have been 100% of the vote, but that's fine.
You hear that, Creepy Kingdom listeners? That's what you should have picked.
I we are technically, you know, at least started out as a creepy Disney podcast, so mm-hmm. I kind of thought that with our audience that Moana would win because it's a Disney movie. But the
crossover, I'm not surprised actually, because the crossover between Harry Potter and creepy Disney is pretty strong, and that was emphasized, you know, when the Wizarding World of Harry Potter opened up in the theme parks. So since we talk about theme park stuff, it's just kind of it was always a natural fit. I mean, even from the beginning of Creepy Kingdom, talking about Harry Potter was a natural fit that I just started talking about it because I was like, well, of course, this is the this is the same thing. And so we're all very excited about Fantastic Beasts as the franchise and where it's going and all the fun stuff ahead as we went on and on about. So that's it.
Yay!
Good job, listeners. Good voting.
So hopefully Kubo and the Best Strings wins Best Animated Feature Film.
Kubo and the Best Strings?
The Best Strings.
Yeah. It has the best strings. It does. Okay?
It does.
It does. Obviously, out of all of these movies, it has the best strings.
It does. And there's some fierce string competition in the other ones. I'm trying to. Out of the animated films, or the nominations, I mean, the only two I had seen was Moana and Kubo, and I think the other ones were ones I never even heard of.
Do you have that list?
Not handy, unfortunately. We could look that up and see, but I hope Kubo wins. I really, really do. I mean, if Moana wins, that's cool, but that would be a victory for everything that Creepy Kingdom stands for.
I have the list if you guys want to.
Yeah, yeah. What is it up against?
All right. So Academy Award nominees for Best Animated Feature are Moana, Zootopia.
Oh, that was a good movie.
Which I'm surprised wasn't on your list.
It wasn't creepy.
Not creepy.
But it's a good movie.
My Life as a Cougarette.
Interesting. Which I have.
The Red Turtle and Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yes, those other two, I mean, I would watch them. I just never heard of them, so I don't know.
Me neither.
But,
yeah, well, the Red Turtle is a Studio Ghibli movie. And then The Life of a Cougarette, that's the only one that I don't know whatsoever. Yeah. It's mixed media. So same concept as Kubo and the Two Strings. So that's a claymation CGI Ooh. Stuff, I believe.
Interesting. Well, I'd love to check it out. But I'm just saying I hope Kubo pulls through. I mean, I don't know. Oscars are voted on by Academy members. You know, it's all a crapshoot who's going to win. It's not really based on whether the movie, you know, I think the movie's good or not. But, but I mean, yeah.
It's not the Academy and we don't know.
But hopefully the Academy is like, all right. I feel like this is the kind of movie that Academy will get behind, you know. Maybe, maybe not.
Although, being up against Moana, you know, it was a huge hit, and it's a Disney movie. Mm-hmm. And Disney does tend to, you know, take the animation.
Yeah, but then and they have Zootopia too. I feel like Zootopia probably is going to win, actually. It's not, you know, out of those.
I mean, it was cute, but
no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's what I think, because if I was placing bets, I would say that it's Zootopia is gonna win.
But if I was placing bets, I'd say that Moana's gonna win.
You haven't even seen Moana. What?
I know. I haven't seen any of them.
You didn't see Zootopia?
I haven't seen Zootopia yet either.
It's Netflix streaming.
Oh, I know. It's in my queue.
I know. Gracious.
All of these movies are chilling in my Netflix list.
Your new name is going to be Roxy, It's In My Queue Tart.
That's it. You need to change all of your tags now.
I'm sorry. You guys know I'm a huge television fan, so I'll watch TV shows before I watch movies, and I love binge-watching TV shows, so movies get put on the back burner, and I just don't see them. You want to talk about TV, though? Ooh, it is on. Do a podcast on that. I'm good to go.
Okay, not quite sure. Well, I guess one TV thing we can talk about, not now, but after we watch it, is a series of Unfortunate Events television show.
Oh, yeah. We can do one on that.
Yeah. So,
there we go. We got something for you, Roxy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up our special movie of the year Oscar edition of the show.
Yay!
And I've got a beverage. Thank you. Just in time. All right, guys. Give your shout-outs. We'll get on. Oh, you got an iced tea, too. We're having an Arizona iced tea time.
There we go.
Cupcake, get your iced tea ready. All right.
That's,
close enough.
That's not Arizona.
Your cup is empty. All right, where can we find you guys? Like, what's your home address? When will you be home?
Me? I am currently out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, nice.
In Nowheresville, USA.
Good luck finding her.
Can't even pinpoint me on a map.
She's off the grid.
No, you can't find me on Instagram. I am Cupcake Terror, all one word, on Instagram. And that's pretty much it.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
It is a good place to be.
I mean, I'm on Twitter, but I don't really use Twitter too much. And I'm on Snapchat, but I haven't been using that much lately either.
Do you give out your Snapchat to the public?
Well, my Snapchat is public, but...
Oh, right. So people are going to know your Snapchat now. They're going to guess it's probably Cupcake Terror.
Isn't it Cupcake Terror?
Yeah.
So if you want to see some scandalous Snapchats...
Word. Y'all, seriously, go check out her Snapchat. It is scandalous.
God.
Scandalous. You will not believe what she posts. Cupcake Terror, Snapchat.
If I start receiving unsolicited anything pictures, I'm gonna get mad at you guys.
I don't think that's our audience. All right, so
I don't think so.
Well, that's true. Thanks, James.
This is a family show. So, all righty. All right, Roxy, where are you?
Me? Yeah. Okay. Well, my website is actually down at the moment, so
why?
You can't go there. But I am on Instagram and on Twitter at Roxy_Tart. I'm on Snapchat at Roxy-Tart. And I am on Facebook at Facebook.com. Welcome to Roxy's World.
All right.
Well, I also have Tumblr and Pinterest and every single other social network out there, but it's too many to list.
Well, you know, it happens. All right. Well, if you watched the Oscars already, hope you enjoyed them. If you're getting ready, have a good time. And we'll see what kind of creepy movies 2017 brings us.
Boop, boop.
Yeah. See you guys at the movies.
If you would like to contact us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by emailing us creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, links to our articles, see our photographs, our original videos, all that fun stuff, links to all of our social media, just go to creepykingdom.com. Alrighty, well, until next time.
See you at the movie.
I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.